Last week, we were talking about access granted. And through the month of January, I want to spend some time around that and what that looks like. What does it mean for you and me to open doors of access for people who don't know Jesus? What does it mean for those who feel lost or far away or in situations of hurt or brokenness that feel like Jesus is far away and I don't have access to him? What does that look like and what that means? Last week, we opened up at just looking at the person of Jesus. And what we discovered in the midst of that as we looked at the text is Jesus is the most accessible person the world has ever known. They come to the face of the earth. Even though Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Even though Jesus says that, you know, the gate to destruction is wide and huge and many follow in it, but the gate to life is narrow and I am it and I am the way. And yet thousands of people, wherever he went, wanted to flock to him. Those that were broken and struggling would sit at the table, not feeling judgment and hate. And indifference, but feeling love and acceptance, an opportunity for conversation to know this accessible Jesus. One of the fascinating stories we looked at last week was when Jesus was journeying along and he stopped by the tax collector's office of one named Levi. And he invited Levi to come to dinner with him. And Levi invited all of his other tax collector friends and what is known in Scripture just other sinners. And they all gather with Jesus. And those that were the religious elite were looking at Jesus going, why would you hang out with people like that? But Jesus loved to hang out with people like that because he was opening access. And one of the neat things about that text that we looked at last week is they say, well, why would you hang out with people like that? Why would you do that? And Jesus says, well, those who believe that they are healthy have no need of a physician, but those who are sinners do. So literally in the midst of all of those, like Levi and others, he's saying, these guys are all sinners. We're sitting together. You know, they accepted their brokenness. And in that day, if you're not familiar with tax collectors, it's not like tax collectors of today. These tax collectors made their living by cheating other people. So they weren't liked in the community. They were kind of known as scoundrels and outsiders, and they had very little community outside of themselves. But yet Jesus would sit with them, and they would sit with him and say, they welcome me in. Accessibility to those who are different from us. Accessibility to those that we might look at and say, man, don't want to hang out with them. Jesus was one that says, come, I am the way and the truth and the life. There were three keys that we looked at last week that we wanted to make sure we kind of honed into our heart that Jesus taught about on the Sermon on the Mount. One was this, he reminds us not to judge, that judgment closes access in people's lives, and it closes access to you. When we are judging people, we close access into us and in for them to be able to connect to Jesus. Jesus says, you're not to judge lest you be judged. Jesus is the judge. He'll take care of all of that. Our role is to open our hearts and minds to the love of people in the way Jesus did. The second thing he reminded us last week is what we might call the golden rule when he says, treat others as you want to be treated. As we treat others, we want to be treated, opens access. It allows us to look into other people's lives, not in ways by which we look down at them or over at them. We say, man, they're created by God. And no doubt they would want to be treated as I would want to be treated. The third piece we held to last week was Jesus reminds us, get people to the table. Just get people to the table to be with Jesus. Jesus takes care of everything else. He doesn't need them all cleaned up and polished up. He just wants to get them at the table. Because when you sit at the table with Jesus, the miraculous things he will do in a life is transformative. Today, I want to look at the second section on that, and one of these doors by which Jesus says access is wide open, and it's called access through faith. Through faith. Now, if you've been around in church circles or religious circles or read the Bible, you've probably heard the word faith before. And faith is one of those things that's it's kind of hard sometimes to get a handle on it. Is it faith? Is it belief? Do we use them interchangeably? What does it look like? What does it mean? If we think about belief and we try to separate the two out a little bit, although many times they're used interchangeably, when I think about belief, I think about knowing something. I believe Jesus died on the cross for our sins. I believe Jesus existed. I believe God created. I believe you are all here today. Okay, that's one thing. I know it. In fact, Satan believes in God. Okay? Satan believes in Jesus. Okay? So there's one thing we can say we believe something. Faith is a little bit different ballgame. Faith is the active form, we could say, of belief. When we say we have faith, it means that we put our life in motion with it. It means what we believe is actually a part of our life. It's actually something we brought in on the inside. It's a way that we begin to live out life, begin to live out our directions and our perspectives. Kind of like we're talking with these confirmation students. They're learning the process of faith. It's confirmation of faith. That's what they're doing. So what they're learning to do is confirm the faith that's in them, which means they believe this about Jesus. How do I put my life in action? How do I begin to move in the way Jesus wants me to move instead of the way I want to move? What does that begin to look like in my life? What access does God give me to all of His promises? And there are hundreds of them in the Scripture. All these promises that God wants to give us are received through what? Faith. So we want faith, right? Because why miss out on the promises? Why miss out on all that God has for you and for me that's so easy to do if we don't access it through faith? The cool thing about faith is this. It's not regulated to someone of high income or low income. It's not regulated on a race, a creed, a color of skin. It's not something that someone can have or somebody. It's accessible for everybody, right? It's not something that you get because you grew up in a certain way or something you don't get because you didn't grow up in a certain way. Faith is an aspect by which you and you alone get to come to God and receive Him, okay? It's a gift for you. It's not the person that can have your faith to the left of you or to the right of you. Faith is yours. It's yours and yours alone. It's something you have to choose, something you get to access. No one can give it to you. No one can take it away from you. It is yours, and it's yours to receive. It's where you come to Jesus through faith. So what I want us to think about today is, we begin to think about faith, is how do we put it in motion? You know, how does that faith give us access, and what does access look like? I've often, when I think about how I begin to understand faith, I mostly understand it as I see it. And if you're a visual person, you think, well, write it and show it to me on paper. Give me an illustration. What does that look like? What does it mean? I've watched my grandparents. I watched their faith. I saw how they walked with God. And I begin to say, well, I get that. I see that. I see how someone's living in faith. It begins to make sense to me. When the Scriptures, all kinds of people were opening the door of this access of faith. When Jesus Christ came to them and gave and opened the door of access to faith, people began to flood in, and they began to take advantage of it. And when they took advantage of that faith, things changed in their lives. Lives were transformed. Ways that they thought were never possible were now possible because of access through faith. Paul describes it like this when he shares in Ephesians chapter 3. And that's where I want us to settle in for a moment and take a little deeper look. In your outlines you received today, you get to see kind of some of the things we want to walk through today. I encourage you to take some notes, take them home. I've also given you some study notes for your week to spend a little bit more time and let this kind of marinate in you and in your families, in your discussions, because you definitely want to access through faith all that God has for you. Paul says in Ephesians, and Paul is the apostle writer, he came to the Lord Jesus when blinded on the Damascus Road. He was opposed to Jesus, but then Jesus met him and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul literally went through a faith conversion from opposing God to being with God. And Ananias was his teacher. And Ananias led him literally to faith and what that began to look like and mean. So throughout Paul's writings in the Scriptures, whether it be the Corinthians or to the Ephesians or to the Galatians, or to those who he walked with, like Timothy, he was always talking about this thing called faith. He said, you want to access it. It gives you power and strength and wisdom. So he writes in Ephesians 3, and beginning with verse 11, he says, "This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." I'm going to ask Michael to leave that on the screen for a moment because I want us to dissect this a little bit. There's a lot in that passage, and sometimes if you're like me, I read it the first time, I kind of glaze over it a little bit as to what that means and all that's in that passage. He opens up with his word, this. What is this? The this is pointing back to what he's been talking to in chapters 1, 2, and early part of 3. He's saying that God, from the beginning of time and all creation, had a plan for human beings. And his plan for human beings was that he wanted to be near them. He created created you and me in his image, not to lose us, but to have us with him. Okay, but sin gets in the way, and there's the fall we call in Genesis 3, and we begin to isolate ourselves from God. We do things by which we feel no longer accessible to God, or we even move away from God because we become our own God. So all kinds of ways by which that is broken, but God from the very beginning, his heart and passion was for every single human being that he ever created to be near him, and God was already having a plan, and he's talking about that plan. It says this plan is now being revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, so the plan to draw us back, to give us access to God, to eternity, is going to be enacted, is going to be made possible through this one called Jesus. Okay, so we know that Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, and gave us access through faith. When we believe in Jesus, he gives us access to all these promises. So notice here that Paul uses the word Lord. Paul used the word Lord. We don't use that in our culture much. You don't call people a Lord. It's kind of that hierarchical thing you might have seen in some other cultures if someone called someone Lord. What Paul is speaking about here when he's using that word Lord is who owns your life. Okay? When he's talking about Lord, it's literally you're saying to yourself, Jesus is my Lord. He lords over me. Okay? That's what you're thinking about there. It means that every action, every decision, every movement comes under my Lord's authority. See where the difference is there? Okay? That's access through faith. It's literally faith to say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Okay? When you say Jesus is your Lord, in faith, you're saying, I want to give him permission to rule my life. That's literally what you are saying. You're giving him permission to rule your life. Anybody who's sitting here today and go, I want to rule my life. Well, then you haven't given access to faith in the Lordship of Jesus. Literally what we're saying, if we want to rule our life instead of Jesus, we're saying, I think I can do it better than him. That's literally what we're saying. Or, I don't like the way he wants me to go. I want to go my own way. But literally, Jesus has already said, wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the one that leads to life. We want to have this life, and he is an open door to it. So he says he wants to be Lord of our lives. That's one of the first decisions we have to make. Is he the Lord of your life? Are you willing to come under his lordship? Are you willing to come under his authority? That everything you speak, your actions, your directions are saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Compromise, you're thinking about faith. That's what you want to be asking. You, Lord, are the one over me. Yes, my parents, I'm following my parents. They're lords over me as students, but we know who the real Lord is, and we want our parents to follow him as well. So he comes to that lordship, but then here comes the really cool part that Paul talks about in this access of faith. He says, through him, Jesus, in him, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Man, that's huge, okay? A lot of times it just says boldness, or sometimes it just says confidence. Here he says boldness, confidence, access through faith in who? In Jesus, okay? Now, this takes the pressure off, my friends. Takes the pressure off. What Paul is saying here, you don't need to have a bold confidence in you. You don't need to be faithful in you. You don't have to worry about your place in life and whether you've done it right or done it wrong. The access to God is not dependent on you. It's dependent on who? Jesus. And that you get through faith. That's why we can come to the throne of God with boldness. You know, I don't have to cower back. In the Old Testament, one of the challenges in the Old Testament is many saw God as far away or distant, or God as wrathful or vengeful, that if one did something wrong, I can't dare approach the throne of grace. I could not look at the face of God and not die. There's this fear aspect of that. And many can feel that today. You know, you live a life that's been far from God, and you're like, man, God would never accept me back. There's this fear of accessing God, or this aspect by which if God really knew who I was, then he would not accept me, or I'm not about to walk in the doors of the church. You might hear many that you're trying to bring to church say, you know, they wouldn't accept who I am. Okay, listen, It's not dependent, let me say it again, it's not dependent on who you are or what you've become or whether you have the ability to gain. It's about Jesus. That's aspect of faith. When you have access to faith, Jesus will begin to work and transform a life. The very first step is to say, I'm going to let you be Lord. Okay? I'm going to let you be Lord. So that boldness and access opens the door for us to live life with Him. Now, what does that look like and what does it mean is the big question. What it looks like and what it means. We can talk theology all day long. We can sit here all day long and say, okay, I'm going to have access to faith. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of my life. But what does it really look like if I say, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus through faith and have access to everything He wants for me? Because remember, faith is active. It's a movement. And it's a movement for Jesus for receiving the promises He has for you. So throughout the scripture, there are many times this story is shown. Remember, there are people in Jesus' day that were wanting this access of faith. So what does it look like? Luke chapter 15, verse 17. I gave you several that are in your outline today that you want to look at. It looks like four guys who helped their friend to Jesus. Now, you may have heard this story before. I want to share it with you in this context of access so that you begin to put the pieces together. These four guys knew that Jesus was in the area, and they believed that Jesus had the power to heal. They had a friend who was paralyzed. So the four guys got their friend. They placed him on a cloth. You know, they would have put two poles together on the outside and carried him like a gurney, and they were going to get him to Jesus. Jesus was at a house teaching, and there were many in that house that were listening to Jesus. Others were opposing Jesus, and there were also this huge crowd that had gathered that wanted to be healed by Jesus. So here these four guys show up with their friend on a gurney who's paralyzed. They come to the house, and they can't get in. The crowd is so intense, they can't get through the window, they can't get through the door. Clearly, people weren't very nice in those days. Because if you walked up with somebody on a gurney, you'd probably let them through. Oh, come on and pass. Nobody's letting him in. They want to be in front of Jesus, all right? So, you know, if you didn't have much access to faith, you might go, well, we tried. And I tried to get my friend to Jesus, but didn't work out well. I think I'll just give up. You know, it might not have happened anyway. And how many times, I think about my own life, how many times have I given up on somebody? Because either they fell off the gurney, and I said, I'm not going to pick them up now, or it was just too hard, right? It's too hard. But their faith was so strong. They said, no, we're not stopping with that. They decide they're going to go up on the roof and get their friend to Jesus. Now, the amazing part of the story is just kind of hilarious when you think about it, because those homes in those days would have been made together with thatch or mud or, you know, some forms of tile or bake, but they would have held together with probably logs or tree branches that would have formed the roof, and then they would have covered it over. So you can imagine, you know, at least two guys climbing up on that roof, straddling these poles, and while they're climbing up there, they're dragging this guy up as in a gurney. He can't walk. Two guys might have been on the ground pushing to get him up there. And then you think about the people inside this house, they didn't have safety glasses. So they're looking up and all this stuff falling in on them. The mud, the thatch, all this stuff falling in. And they must have been going, what is going on? And all of a sudden they see little heads pop through. And then they see a guy getting lowered down. I mean, he must have been thinking, well, I'm already paralyzed. You're going to kill me? You know, what were they using? Ropes, towels? What'd they have? And here they're lowering this guy down. They put him right in front of Jesus. I mean, they believed that if they could just get their friend to Jesus, something would happen. Something would happen, miraculous. So Jesus first looks at these guys. Maybe they were peeking through the roof at that point. And he looks up to them and he says, your faith has made him well. Not even that guy. Your faith brought this guy to Jesus, and Jesus looks at that guy and says, get up and walk, your sins are forgiven. Okay? So what does that look like for you and me? How do you translate that today? This is what it looks like. This is what access to faith is. It looks like doing anything you need to do, breaking all barriers to get your friend, your family, your community to Jesus. It looks like tearing off the roofs because you know that you know that you know if I just get them to Jesus, lives will be changed. It looks like faith that has access that says, I haven't given up on you. I'll never give up on you. Jesus hasn't given up on you. It's not too late. I haven't stopped thinking about getting you to Jesus, and I know that you are not invaluable to him. That's what that access to faith looks like. But here's another. In Mark 5:24, there's a woman who comes to Jesus for healing. Access to faith. This woman, in a much different situation, she had a disease that that caused bleeding for 12 years. Because of this disease, she was ostracized by the community. Certainly the religious community considered her unclean, and she wasn't allowed in it. We know the struggles and trials that COVID brought among our communities, literally with mental health and struggle and isolation. It was a part of that. This woman was isolated from her community, probably never, hardly ever went out in public, certainly not out in public in the times that other people would have been there. She wouldn't have been able to participate with her religious community because she's considered unclean. Nobody wanted to touch her or be with her, and it was getting worse. On top of that, she had tried everything else. So it's kind of like, well, maybe I'll try Jesus. Maybe you've been there. But she wakes up on this particular day. She hears that Jesus is coming through. She's heard about Jesus. And she believes in her heart so strongly that this is it. Even though she's tried everything else, that Jesus can heal her. So she boldly leaves the house. She risks being seen. She comes up to where Jesus is, and there's a great crowd that's following him because he's going to do another healing. And everybody's shuttled around, and all of a sudden, Jesus speaks out, "Who touched me?" Now, just get your head around that for a moment. It's packed around him with all these people and the noise and all that's going on and the chatter and all this happening. And she had reached out and touched the hem of his garment. It literally means she would have slithered on her belly just to touch the robe of Jesus. She didn't want to bother him because she didn't want to be a bother to anybody. She didn't even want to be known by anybody. So now she's in the dirt. She probably looks like she's been in the dirt because you don't touch the bottom of a robe that's only 2 inches off the ground unless you've been in the dirt. Jesus says, "Daughter, get up, you're healed." A word, daughter, she hasn't heard in years. Acceptance. Just imagine the emotional, the physical, the spiritual healing that happened in one word, because she had a bold, confident access through faith. What does that look like for you and me? It looks like such a confidence in coming to Jesus that we will not be rejected, no matter if we've had an issue that's gone on all of our life. Even though everybody else has written us off, Jesus hasn't, even if you came to him as your last resort. He still accepts you. It looks like such boldness that you don't care what others think or even know about you and your problem. It means such access in faith that you are ready to expose it in order to be healed. Man. That's a lot to work through, isn't it? That's access of faith. That's what faith is. That Jesus is bigger than my problem and my struggle and even my ability to hold it in and not be judged by everybody else. Because access to faith, access to Jesus is my identity, not that. Luke 19. Another one, Zacchaeus. May have heard a little Zacchaeus. He's a tax collector. And unlike Levi, he was the chief of tax collectors. He would have been the scoundrel of all scoundrels. He not only cheated everybody else, he even cheated those who worked for him. And he'd gotten extremely wealthy. Jesus was traveling down the road, and Zacchaeus, it says in the Bible, was a fairly short man, so he couldn't see over the crowd, so he climbed up in a tree and he looked. He saw Jesus coming by, and as Jesus walked under that tree, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight." Well, Zacchaeus was pretty excited about that. It says he was excited to bring Jesus into his home. He was thrilled about it. Probably at that point, he was prideful. He was like, "Look at me. Nobody else likes me, but Jesus does." Little did he know, Jesus loves to hang out with messy people. So he got to the home of Zacchaeus, and we don't know what all happened in that home. But we do know is at the end of it, Zacchaeus said, "I'm going to give away half of everything I've ever made, and I'm going to double pay everybody I've ever cheated, and I'm going to make a difference." His whole life was changed, transformed, access through faith. What does that look like? What does that mean for you and me? It means we can have confidence to come to God no matter how much of a scoundrel, no matter how much we've cheated people, no matter how much we have stolen or thieved from others, no matter how much under the table stuff we've done that we know is not right. You are not too much of a mess for Jesus. That's what that bold access means. It means that it is never too late for you. It means that you've never gone too far that God won't accept you. It means that there is a door wide open that God will transform your life in a way to do good and have a purpose that you never dreamed of. That's access through faith. But there's more. It's access that looks like this. There was a woman who came to a well one day. Maybe you've heard the story. She came to the well at the noon of the day because, well, she didn't want anybody else to see her. She kind of lived one of those lives, you know, that it's a bit immoral, got some struggles with lust. Everybody's kind of looking at her like, "You're that woman." So she come there in the middle of the day when nobody else was there. Most everybody went in the morning to get her water, but Jesus was taking a rest by the well. And Jesus looks at her, and he knows everything about her. He knows that she's had five husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. He calls it out right away. And he says to her, he says, "You know, you came here to draw water, but I know you're thirsty. And I know you're thirsty for lots of things because you're empty on the inside. And the way that you're feeling the emptiness on the inside is by all the stuff around you rather than what's in you." And Jesus says, "If you will drink from this water, you'll never be thirsty again." Now, she doesn't get it that moment. She just looks at the well and goes, "What do you mean? I don't have to come draw water anymore?" But as they had conversation, she says, "I know you, and I know what you thirst for. But if you drink from this, you won't be that thirsty anymore." What does that mean? What's that access of faith? Because she leaves there, and she goes and tells everybody. She makes access to everybody in the town she hasn't been a part of for years. "You got to come see this man who knows everything about me, and yet he still cares." Access through faith. What does that look like for you and me? It means this. It means we can come with full access to God and know that all the things that we really do search for on the inside to fill our void is through him. It means it's not my worldview or my possessions or my relationship or my identity or my addictions or my orientation. None of that will ever fill this up. Only Jesus. And he gives access as we learn from this woman. In John 4, John writes it like this. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here and keep drawing." What are the things that you're doing, that I'm doing right now, that you're hoping will fill you up? Access to faith says, you can stop that now because Jesus will do it. One last one. Luke chapter 7, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 7. So man, a centurion, he's a Roman soldier. Centurion was high officer in the Roman cohort, and he governed over 100 other soldiers. Usually these centurions were well known in the community, and certainly their contribution to the Roman army and the peace, Pax Romana, that Rome pushed in that day was critical for them. They seldom had anything to do with the Jewish community except for them to keep the peace. Certainly nothing to do with Jesus. They were Gentiles. Okay? That means they were non-Jews, non-believers in many cases. This centurion, however, had heard about Jesus, and he heard the healing powers that Jesus had, but he also had a friend, a servant, he called him, that was sick, and his servant was going to die. You hear a little bit about the heart of this centurion because he cares about his servant. Most centurions would have said, I'll just get another one. But he hears from Jesus, and he says to Jesus, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. I don't need you to take the time to go all the way to his house and heal him. If you just say the word, my servant will be healed. Access through faith. How's that possible? Well, Jesus pries a little bit more, and the centurion says this. He says, I'm a man of authority, and what I say goes. When I say for someone to move, they move. If I say for someone to stop, they stop. If I say it's time to go to the battle, we go to the battle. You, Jesus, are a man of authority. If you just say the word, my servant will be healed. Jesus says in Scripture, what was only recorded once in all the Gentile world, when he says centurion, not in all of the religious community have I found such access to faith. This man lived faith. He accessed the healing powers of Jesus because he understood lordship. He understood authority. He understood what Paul was talking about. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, he now has access to everything in your life. And everything in my life. And when he has access to everything in your life, and through faith you receive it, all these things, whether it's tearing the thatch off the roof in order to get a friend to Jesus, or it's things that have gone on in your life that you feel far excluded, I could never be good enough. No. Through faith, there's access. You get a seat at the table. You get to be in the presence of the one who created you and the one who has all power over you at the end of the day. How's your faith? Jesus opened that access to all who believe. He's already done the work. The cross, he paid the price. He saved our sins through the blood of the cross. He says, come, I want us connected. And all these promises, access through faith. If you're in that place today and you've never asked the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, think about it. Today is a good day to do that. Today's a really good day to say, Lord, I'm not going to live in knowing you. I want to have access to faith. I want to trust you in my life. I want to walk in your way. And by the way, I also want to be like the woman in the well. I want to make sure that everybody else knows, no matter what their condition, situation, that they have access to you as well. And I'm not closing that door. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for a love that you have for us that never fails. That even when we run far away, you're running faster like the hound of heaven, chasing us, Lord Jesus, longing for us to be with you. Father, we thank you that you're so accessible, that we need not judge or even judge ourselves. We just need to come through faith and give our lives over to you and let you do the rest. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for the love that's poured out, that's seen, that allows all of us to come under that grace and authority and know that we are received. Father, may we do likewise as your church and as your people to so many others that feel excluded. God, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.